Let us pray. Father, on this glorious Easter morning, we come before you. We come before you to celebrate. We come before you to give thanks. We come before you to offer our praise because Jesus rose from the grave. I pray this morning as we unpack your word that you would do a remarkable new work in our hearts this morning, this season, this year, and all the days ahead. And so we make our prayer this morning as we begin. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Let your living word become a reality for us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. And you respond, He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's try it again. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I've got to tell you, this is challenging to stand up here. Being videoed in front of a congregation where there's no one seated out there. But friends, I've got to tell you, this year more than ever, we need to know that Jesus rose from the grave. This year more than any other year, we need to know that the tomb is empty and that the resurrection is real. These are strange days we're living in. But I will tell you, friends, it makes all the difference when we know that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is real. At the end of the book, The Lord of the Rings, after the great battle in Middle Earth, the hobbits returned to their Shire only to find that it had been terrorized by the evil wizard Saruman. And Sam realized that he and Frodo had survived and that Gandalf had returned from the dead. And in it, Sam says this, "It was a dream, wasn't it? Gandalf, I thought you were dead. But then I thought I was dead myself." And then Sam poses this profound question, "Is everything sad going to come untrue? What's happened in the world today?" Gandalf replied, "A great shadow has departed." And then he laughed. And the sound was like music or like water in a parched land. And as he listened, as Sam listened, the thought came to him that he had not heard laughter, the pure sound of merriment for days upon days without count. You see, I think most of us these days are asking that same question. Is everything sad going to come untrue? Will there be an end to the pain and suffering that so many are encountering from the coronavirus pandemic? Will there be an end to the economic devastation that our country is experiencing? Will there be an end to the shaking that all of us are experiencing? Well, friends, I can tell you that the answer is a resounding yes. Do you know why? Even though the coronavirus pandemic is making new history, there is a greater historical event that reframes everything, and that's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if the resurrection is true, then the answer to the question, is everything sad ultimately going to come untrue, is yes. N.T. Wright, an Anglican bishop and New Testament scholar, wrote this about the resurrection. He wrote, "The point of the resurrection is not simply that the Creator God has done something remarkable for one solitary individual, as people today sometimes imagine, is the supposed thrust of the Easter proclamation. But," he wrote, "that in and through the resurrection, the present evil age has been invaded by the age to come, the time of restoration, return, covenant renewal, and forgiveness. An event has occurred as a result of which the world is a different place, and human beings have the new possibility to become a different kind of people." I love that statement. Because, friends, the world is a different kind of place now that the kingdom of God has broken in to this sin-cursed world. Because what the kingdom of God is doing now is it is transforming all that is evil into good. And the good news with all of this is that as human beings, we also have the new possibility of becoming a different kind of people. That's what I want to talk about with you this morning. That we actually become, because of the resurrection, a new kind of people. The resurrection does two things that I want to highlight this morning out of the text in Luke chapter 24. The resurrection makes us people of hope, and the resurrection makes us people of purpose. First, the resurrection makes us people of hope. I want to take you back to the scene in Luke chapter 24, Luke's account of the resurrection, because what we find in this scene is it takes us from hopelessness to hopefulness. It was early that Sunday morning. The body of Jesus had been in the grave since Friday. The disciples had remained locked in a room in Jerusalem for fear that the Jews would find them and arrest them because they had association with Jesus. You see, they were filled with fear, hopeless in many ways. Hopeless, why? Hopeless because the one that they had placed their hope in was gone. The one who taught them a new way to live, the one who healed the sick, the one who fed the hungry, who forgave sins, who came into this world to make this world a different kind of place, was gone. He was dead. And they remained in that upper room with the door locked, hopeless. You see, for them, there was no hope that everything sad would come untrue, at that point at least. And the scene opens with these ladies going to the tomb of Jesus. It was early in the morning. The sun was just coming up. And they had their spices that they were going to anoint the covered body of Jesus with in the tomb. They too walked that journey from their homes to the tomb as women who were hopeless until they looked in and they found the tomb empty. Until they heard the angels speak. Here's what we read in Luke 24, verses 4 through 7. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." You see what's happening here? The angels said something very important to those ladies. Do you know what they said? Did you catch the one word that changed everything? They said, "Remember. Remember." You see, the women that morning had forgotten what Jesus told them. They had forgotten that Jesus had told them that he would die and rise again 3 days later. But they forgot. And in their forgetting, they became hopeless. You see, friends, in our forgetting, we too can become hopeless. What about you? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that the story did not end on the cross? Have you forgotten that everything sad will one day come untrue? Are you wondering if there's still any hope in the midst of the chaos of our day? In the midst of job uncertainty, relational stress, financial pressure, declining health, and all of these things and more, we often forget that the tomb was empty. When difficulty comes your way, I know when it comes my way, it's easy for me to forget that the tomb was empty. What I want you to hear this morning is this, that the cross was not the end of the story. You see, while the cross ended in death, the tomb brought forth new life. What looked like an end of it all was actually the beginning. What looked hopeless was the beginning of new hope. You see, here's the new hope, friends. Because Jesus conquered Satan on the cross and he rose from the grave, he now rules over every single part of this universe. He rules over every part of this world. He rules over every part of your life. And what that means for you and me, especially today, is this. The enemy will not win over the distraction and the destruction that's come into your life. The enemy will not win over the disaster that's come into your home. You see, if you and I are going to be people of hope, then we've got to do what the angels said to the women on the tomb that first Easter morning. We've got to remember. Remember. Because when we forget, the enemy wreaks all kinds of havoc in our lives, doesn't he? We become people who are fearful, angry, anxious, overwhelmed. But you see, what remembering does, it brings back perspective. You've heard me say this many times at St. Andrew's, use this phrase, we all struggle with gospel amnesia. You see, I can wake up and I can, at 8 o'clock in the morning, be sitting at my desk remembering that I'm a child of God, saved by His grace, relishing in the love of my Father in heaven. And by 10 a.m., I can have forgotten it all. And something comes across my desk from an email or a phone call, and I become a person of fear. And I've forgotten. And I begin to live like an orphan as opposed to an adopted son of the Most High God. You see, friends, what you and I need to do in our remembering is that we need to be a people who preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We need to come back to remember what the scriptures tell us. This is where we find restored hope. I want you to hear one passage this morning in particular. It comes from the Old Testament in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Listen to these words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Now, I want to pause for a second. I want you to think about that great love displayed on the cross. When God allowed His Son to go to the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. The greatest display of love ever. We are not consumed because He did that for us. And He goes on and He writes, "For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I bet some of you need to hear that this morning. Some of you need to hear this morning that God's mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness never fails. You see, friends, that's our hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Now, hope is found not just in remembering, but first in receiving. I want you to think about this. Hope is not first found in remembering, but it's found first in receiving. So I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you come to receive the gift? Have you come to receive the gift of the empty tomb, the gift of the cross, the gift that in Christian circles we call grace? It's this unmerited favor. It's the gift that says you don't have to earn your way to God's love. We can't earn our way to God's love. That's why Jesus did what you and I could not do. He loved us to the end. And so I want to ask this morning, have you received this gift of God's grace? That's where it all begins, isn't it? Let me take you back just briefly to Friday. When Jesus was nailed to the cross hanging there were criminals on either side of him, and one of the criminals railed at him. He didn't believe that the Son of God was hanging next to him. But what we read in Luke 23 is there was another criminal on the other side. And here's his response. But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you were under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Do you see what the other criminal did? The other criminal recognized that he was under condemnation. He recognized that he had committed a crime. He recognized his sin. He owned it. He didn't push it off on someone else. He owned it. And in owning it, he turned to Jesus and he found life. Friends, you want to be a person of hope? Own your brokenness. Own your sinfulness. Turn to Jesus and find life. Hope is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. I love Jesus wrote this in John's gospel, in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Listen to these words. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. If we are going to be a people of hope, we've got to come through the door. We've got to come through Jesus, who not only offers us eternal life, but he offers us hope in this world, in this shaky world today, right now. He offers us hope. You see, friends, not only does the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ make you and me people of hope, it also makes us people of purpose. And that's the second thing I want us to see in this passage, that we become people of purpose. Look at Luke 24, verses 8 through 10. Here's what we read. And they remembered his words. These were the women who had gone to the tomb that first Easter morning. And they remembered the words of the angels. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them told these things to the apostles. I want you to see, when they heard, when they remembered that Jesus rose from the grave, they could not help but go and tell. Friends, when you and I come to believe that the resurrection is real, we've got a story to tell. We've got a story to tell that is like no other story on the face of this earth. And here's the story. You see, Jesus didn't just come to die for our sins so that you and I could have hope in heaven. He died for our sins to bring the hope of heaven among us today. That as we live as people of hope, you and I get to take this gospel message of hope to a people searching for hope. And oh, how people are searching today, aren't they? I mean, look around, talk to your friends. All the things that we have been placing our hope in are unraveling. They're becoming like grains of sand that fall through our fingers. I thought I was holding this and it was going to be steady for me, but it just seeps through and there's nothing left. We are all being tried in these days. But friends, the message that you and I have to offer to one another and to those who are searching for hope is that Jesus rose from the grave and he is with us and he is bringing new life, new purpose, right here, right now. You see, what you and I need today more than ever, I believe, is this, is a hope-shaped vision for the mission that God has called us to. You see, our grand purpose today is to work for the renewal of this world, the renewal of God's creation. How do we do that? What does that look like? Let me just give you some very practical, tangible ways that you and I today work for the renewal of this world. We do so by making the presence of Jesus visible through tangible acts of love and service. I wonder what those could be for you today. I wonder what those could be for you in this season where we are separated, but yet we can still reach out in creative ways to our neighbors, to our friends. That we would be people of hope, that we would be people who bring justice in the midst of injustice. That we would be a people of peace. Now think about that. how that will transform a neighborhood, how that will transform a community, that we actually, as followers of Jesus, become people of peace. I think about Jesus on the cross. He was still a person of peace on the cross as people railed insults at him one after another. That we would also be people who seek reconciliation where there are fractured relationships around us. That we would be a people today who are actually out in our neighborhoods talking to our neighbors as we walk. Not just saying hi and waving, but stopping, okay, yes, with some social distance, but stopping and talking. The fences are down. Learn their story. Get to know them. Let them know that you're praying for them. Ask how you can reach out and serve them in these days. You see, there have been pandemics around the world for centuries, over centuries. This isn't the first time something like this has happened. But what you see throughout history is when the church acts like the church, when the followers of Jesus know that the resurrection is true, we live as people of hope, and communities begin to come together again. Communities change, whole cities begin to change, because we have the hope that people are looking for. The call for you and me today is to seize the moment. To seize the moment, to be people of hope, to live as people on purpose and mission for the Lord. You know, this Easter is different than any of us have ever experienced, isn't it? I'm here preaching to a room with nobody else in it. It isn't supposed to be that way. You're supposed to be in here looking as wonderful as you do on an Easter Sunday. I'm supposed to be able to stand up here at the beginning of the service and say, Alleluia, 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 Christ is risen. And then I hear hundreds of people respond, He is risen indeed, Alleluia. But that's not going to happen that way this Easter. You know, there are going to be many empty seats at my dining room table today. Family that was supposed to come in can't come in. And I would gather that's the same for you as well. There are a lot of things different this year, aren't there? But can I tell you one thing that will never change? The tomb is empty. I want you to remember that today. I want you to remember that when you wake up on Monday. I want you to remember that in the middle of May when we still may be separated. I want you to remember that the tomb was empty. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I've heard the birds sing a lot louder this spring. I've seen the flowers more brilliant this spring than in years past. It's as if God is saying, no, I think it's as if God is shouting, I am here. The tomb is empty. There is hope. So to end with the question that I began with, that Sam said, is everything sad going to come untrue? Friends, because of the resurrection, the answer is a resounding yes. Now may you take that hope, share it with your family, share it with your friends, rest in the grace that is yours, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we lift all of this to you. We thank you that the tomb was empty and that Christ is now ruling and reigning. Come rule in greater and greater ways, bringing your kingdom around us. And our prayer is your kingdom come, your will be done in these days. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.